We're talking some areas that normally you wouldn't approach, let alone stop and talk to these young people. But I don't see them that way. I see these young people, the unreachable that we call, who need to be reached, the untouchables who need to be touched. And they're waiting on that. They're waiting on us to reach out and touch them.
Good afternoon and welcome to this edition of Mid-South Viewpoint. I'm Byron Tyler. Glad to have you along as we welcome to the program today Pastor Ralph White of the Bloomfield Baptist Church in South Memphis. Pastor Ralph, it's always good to see you.
Same here. Appreciate you having us again.
Hey, listen, we're getting ready for an exciting March when people are talking about March Madness. They're filling out their brackets for their favorite basketball team. And I would hope that the University of Memphis Tigers would be on the top of that list.
Mm.
But it's exciting to watch all of the action on the basketball court. But we're here to talk about some different action today.
Right.
Unfortunately, you and I talk regularly about crime in our city and how you and the ministry at Bloomfield, through the movement of God So Loved, as you reach out to share love with families who have been hurt and have been really torn apart by crime, murders that have taken place in families, and you have gone and prayed over and sought to provide the love and mercy of Christ through your ministry. But something that's coming up on this Saturday, March the 4th, is mm-hmm. March on the Madness.
Kind of making it a play on the March Madness. And like you say, yeah, there's a choosing their brackets, but we already know who's going to win. We've got our brackets already marched out, and 2 Chronicles 7 and 14 tells us who's going to win it. But they won't win. We won't see the victory until we kind of implement it, what we're doing. And we're going out into the neighborhoods. We've done this before, and I guess it's even seen as more important now with crime being what it is. And we've decided to go into some of the high crime areas in the city and actually pray for and with young men and women in those communities. And it's been quite effective. We've just broken into the basketball games and say, hey, give us a minute of your time. Young men have stopped, listened, prayed with us, and it's just been exciting.
You actually encounter individuals in the streets and just say, hey, can I have a few minutes of your time?
Right. We've done that. And you'd be amazed at how surprised they are that you're bold enough to do that. And as I said, we're welcomed. We're talking some areas that normally you wouldn't approach, let alone stop and talk to these young people. But I don't see them that way. I see these young people, the unreachable that we call, who need to be reached, the untouchables who need to be touched. And they're waiting on that. They're waiting on us to reach out and touch them. So we'll be in this community center. We've done it there before. And these kids have stopped their games. Again, they've come to listen to what we've had to say, allowed us to pray for them. And it's been awesome. And that's what it's going to take.
Well, you mentioned the community center. We're talking about Lester Community Center. This Saturday from 10 until noon.
10:30 until noon.
Yeah.
10:30 to noon.
Right.
This will be our first one, and we're looking to go to three others. Each weekend, we'll be traveling to a community center in some high-crime area. We're looking possibly at Westwood, possibly in Frazier, another one, maybe in southeast Memphis. So just trying to get the various north, south, east, west, and touch on some of those areas. And hopefully this would catch on, that other churches, other ministries would say, hey, this is what we've got to do. We can't win this battle, everybody focusing in. We've got to decide what area we're going to tackle. And once we can do that, we'll see the whole city coming together. And this is a movement that we put together. We've been meeting with several pastors on this, last week. We met with them getting ready for this. And so the pastors are coming aboard, and we don't want to go and take the members from your community. We want to partner with you as we come along beside you with A God So Loved, Stevie Moore, his group. I talked to him just a couple of days ago. He'll be on board, some other individuals who have ministries. We come together, and we work together, and we go back to our own neighborhoods.
Well, I think you make a key point there, Pastor, because we've talked about this in the past, about the importance of, no matter what area of the community that you live in, and if you feel that your neighborhood maybe is not that bad, my point is that if we don't try to touch the higher statistic crime areas, you know, and try to love on these areas and reach out and be in a listening ear to hear their concerns and heart, eventually our neighborhoods that we think aren't that bad,
you know,
are going to be more crime infested.
And it's happening. Yeah, I mean, every day you hear somebody say, I never thought it would have happened here. Well, it happens everywhere. And we got to look at these young men, look at these young women, and say to them, hey, somebody does love you. Somebody does care. It's not hopeless. We're here for you to give you that hope that you're looking for. When we listen to the interviews on the radio, watch them on TV, you see people throwing up their hands, frustrated. They've got little children. They're afraid for them to go outside and play. And we've got to break into that. The body of Christ, we men and women, we've got to break into that so these people can feel at peace. You shouldn't be afraid to go into your yard or sit in your own front room. So we've got to make that change. The change we're looking for, it's in us. And we're saying we're going to take the initiative. We're going to move out. And it's dangerous in some instances, but that's life. Those are the chances we have to take.
Well, Pastor, let's talk about the disconnect we see, and really highly publicized now, between the police department in our cities and in the community, you know? And I was watching this morning before I came to work on public television. There was this documentary, and they were in, I don't know what city they were in, it was a religious family. They weren't Christians, but another religious family. And they were teaching their young child to tell police to go away. And I feel like we have got to find a way to bridge the gap and the differences that some of our communities feel toward the police department.
Yeah, that's a very difficult piece. You know, I'm the chairman of the Civilian Law Enforcement Review Board. And we actually deal with those cases, and we do find that to be a problem. One of the things that we're focusing on is the fact that we've got to educate our citizens as to what their rights are and what their rights are not. And I think the education, not only from the police as to how to deal with citizens, but citizens as to how to deal with police. Police are not our enemies, and there is that element of society that would have us to think that. Well, we've got to come together. They are a law enforcement agency. They're here to serve and to protect. And if there's danger or whatever in my community, I'm going to call the police. Now, it's up to the police director, internal affairs, union, for them to adequately train police officers as it relates to people's skills. One of the things we found that when I came on as clerk, chair, I met with the director at that time, the internal affairs head, also union. And I said, what we've got to do, we've got to look at it, because we had one officer who had over 40-some complaints. And I could mention that name, and all the other officers automatically knew who I was referring to. I said, and that's bad. If you've got that kind of an officer there, we're not saying fire him. He's probably got a family, you know, has taken... I said, but he doesn't need to be on the streets. Put him in the warehouse. Put him behind the desk. So we've got to work together to make sure that the police that we send to the street understand they're there to protect and to serve, and then that the citizens also understand that there are certain things you can and cannot do, okay? So I think it's a work both from a citizen standpoint as well as the police in their human relation, getting that message out that police are there, they're your friends,
yep,
they're your protectors.
Seems like we're in a generation too, Pastor, that really questions authority.
Authority, period.
Authority,
that's
period.
The problem.
Yeah. And one of the sad things about it is, and you and I have talked about the fatherless homes, there is not an authority structure, a proper authority structure, oftentimes, you know, in the home, because they have absentee dads and they're not showing the example, you know, of what, how you do respect authority.
Yeah. And I think that's the key. That's the key. Young men grew up with no rules. Nobody set the rules. When we talk about role models, they've got roles but no models. They don't, you know, I'm going to be like dad. And I tell people at my church, I don't care who you are, everybody is somebody's favorite person. And it's very unfortunate that the role models that our young men see and pattern after, and young ladies now too, very negative, very negative. And then we look at the media. I mean, you know, when we look at the violence that's there, what else do we expect? Every argument seems to be resolved with someone shooting or cutting or stabbing. There's no fist fight. You get through, you dust off, you shake hands. That's not it. Ultimately, let's finish it off.
Yeah.
We argue. You think it's over. Someone left the fight. It was over. They went to get a firearm, and someone's dead on the job or in the home. And these are the kinds of things we see happening over and over again. But it's the way society is moving.
Yeah, unfortunately, some of the role models that, you know, our young people are looking up to, whether it be in the music industry or the entertainment industry, they sometimes push buttons beyond their own ability to perform, to sing, to act. They use it as a political platform, and it becomes very, you know, opinionated, and it just causes sometimes a negative instead of really a positive. And we need positive role models for our kids.
Oh, yeah, definitely. And I look at that, too. Individuals who have no interaction in civic matters, dealing with issues, but they come up with a statement, and because they've got thousands or millions of followers listening to them, they follow that, you know, this is what so-and-so says, and that becomes the gospel. And you've got all these kinds of opinions that are out there, individuals who have no morals, no values, and they're trying to force these non-values upon society through politics, and this is what we're seeing now. Many of the riots and many of the demonstrations that we see, when we really look at what they're, I mean, what they're after and what they're trying to accomplish, we say, we can't do that. We can't live with that.
Yes.
And that becomes also a challenge for the body of Christ, for the church. So it's not just government, et cetera, but the gospel is being challenged by some individuals who, based upon how they feel, they want to change what the Word of God is saying.
The Word of God teaches us not to grow weary in well-doing. This is one thing we got to be reminded of when we look at the mountain that's before us, and this can move. I mean, but we've got to be faithful and consistent, and we can't just, you know, lock ourselves in our homes with bars on our windows and not get out and get involved. I mean, this is where we are Christ ambassadors, to be able to take the good news, the gospel, the healing balm, if you will, right, to the soul. That's why this March on Demand is coming up over these next few Saturdays in the month of March. Specifically, we're talking about the one this Saturday from around 10:30 to noon at the Lester Community Center. And
on Tillman, in Binghamton.
In Binghamton, on Tillman. And really, anybody listening, this is a family opportunity to come out and join other believers who are gathering to pray over, to share, just to share the love of Christ.
Yeah, let me say this, too. If anybody's interested, we've chosen this particular place for the first one. There are three others. If you'd like for us to come to your community, give me a call, 901-481-3320. 901-481-3320, Pastor White. And if you say, hey, we need you guys to come to our neighborhood, our church will be with you, and we can go to whatever place that you feel has been impacted by crime, we'll do that. We want this movement to start as we march on the madness in March. We want to continue to march because the troubles are going to continue to, you know, take place throughout the city, and we want to be there.
Well, just back in the 1st of February, there was Hands Around 201, which you have spearheaded now for several years, and I haven't seen you since this most recent one. Can you give us an update?
It was awesome. It was a very chilly day, and I got up. I said, well, maybe this will be the last one. It's cool. People were not coming, and about 5 minutes to showtime, they just came out of everywhere. It was awesome. And they came with prayer on their minds. It was a great crowd, mixed black, white, of various denominations, young and old. And they prayed. The police director was there. Other officials were there. It was an awesome event, and it was quite encouraging.
Have you heard any feedback from this particular event since it's happened?
We've had individuals who've called. Matter of fact, I've got a few emails of individuals who had attended for their first time, and so it's always been good and kind of has a ripple effect. We'll start hearing things as the, you know, days and months progress. Individuals who say, hey, I passed by, or I was there even, incarcerated in that facility. We've had these kinds of testimonies that, you know, have come up since that time. A very interesting situation came up you might want to hear. A few months ago, we were instrumental in helping to turn in this young guy who killed a police officer, Tremaine Wilburn. About a month ago, two young guys came into the church, and I noticed them. One's very tall. After service, he came around, and he said, Pastor, and I knew him, I recognized him. I said, your son? He said, yes. He said, I'm Tremaine's brother. And then the next week, I noticed he was back. I had another young guy with him. And he came around. He says, I'm Tremaine's youngest brother. These young guys who were actually brothers to the young man that we knew in the community, we helped to turn him in to the police who had killed a police officer.
Yes.
And we have people who appreciate us reaching out, knowing that, hey, I can trust you. I can confide in you. And so these are the things that are rewarding to us. We can see young men who are out there.
Yeah.
They're looking for refuge, and they've come to us, you know, as a result of that.
And I know in earlier years, you tried to reach out to Tremaine himself, and he just kind of ignored him and pushed back and went into the kind of the street life.
Yeah.
And but he didn't forget you, because you were the one who was able to organize when he was he turned himself in, and you helped that, and we're so thankful for that. As we look at these events coming up on Saturday and the following Saturdays, how can folks prepare themselves? What do you recommend? Obviously, this Saturday from 10:30 to noon, coming to the Lester Community Center, where should people park? What should they do? How should they walk in? How should you gather?
There's ample parking at the center, good parking off street as well as on the street. And if they're inquisitive, just come to see what goes on, see what happens.
Maybe be in a spirit of prayer,
right,
as you kind of lead, especially if this is your first time, and maybe just observe,
right,
and just be there and just be friendly and kind.
That'd be great. Just come to see, and then we'll take that same atmosphere to whatever your community. And it is contagious. It is contagious as people start to see it who've never done that before. I've had, well, what's the use? No. It is impacting. It is effective. And we've seen lives change. But we've got to understand that where we are in this city, it did not happen overnight. And it's not going to change overnight. But we've got to be consistent. We've got to be serious in what we're doing. Because young people are watching. They want to know, are you serious about what you're doing? Jesus said, we're the light of the world. And I was sharing with the group, we are, but the problem is we tend to be neon lights. By the time they get to us, we cut off, you know.
Yeah.
But we got to be consistent. They're looking for answers.
Right.
And they're looking for answers on a bridge that has no hope. When they get through, they say, I'm going to go home and eat. But what is your goal? What is your objective? And we've got to give them a glimmer of hope. And that's what these young people are looking for.
You know, Pastor, some will attribute poverty to an extreme poverty to the reason for, you know, crime and the increase of crime we see. But I want you to talk a minute about those who are in poverty that, I mean, they have a heart for God. They they have integrity, and they themselves aren't wanting to commit crime. They're wanting to be protected from crime, and oftentimes they become victims of crime.
Yeah, I mean, we've got to instill some hope. And with the testimony, I don't know if I've ever shared with you when we talk about poverty. We grew up in South Memphis, where my church is. There were 10 of us. We had a two-room. We lived in two-room. And I tell kids, we were so poor, we couldn't afford an OR. We were just P.O., ho. And so, you know, we shared a bathroom with two other families. This was, you know, when you look for excuses, there were alcoholics, et cetera, in my family. I was fortunate. Not that I'm so great, but I never smoked, never drank, never been high, never been in jail. I know who all my babies are. Did everything the other young men did. I played football, baseball, basketball. I attended college on a vocal music scholarship. So we came through all of that. And we say to these young people, you don't have to. You make choices. But there are a lot of shortcuts out there. But the problem I found with shortcuts is they're usually cut short. And so, you know, we say, okay, I'm not coming somewhere. I'm just a preacher, and preacher, you don't understand. I do understand. I do understand, but you've got to set some goals. And we've got to make sure that as these young people grow up and have these challenges, we've got to make opportunities available for them. And that's why I put on another hat in working in some other areas from the political side, is to deal with those issues. There's a meeting coming up again next week where we're meeting with the governor and talking about some things that we need in South Memphis or in West Tennessee, you know, the jobless rate and all those kinds of things, bringing industry here and jobs so that these young people can. And then the educational system here, I mean, it's deplorable. We're working with that, dealing with Shelby County schools. So it's not just one thing we're dealing with, but when we talk to these young people about the gospel, we need to also deal with a tangible hope for them. So, oh, come on, I'm going to pray. I'm going to go to Bible study and so forth. But when we get through, I need you good Christian pastor to make sure some doors are being opened. And then I tell them you've got to qualify also. So it becomes a team effort, and we have to push the whole package.
You were talking about your choices growing up in light of the environment that you were raised in and the poverty that you grew up in. I was thinking about Colenso Hubbard. You know, I don't know if you've met Colenso before. He is, an Episcopal priest that has done ministry here in the Memphis. But he grew up, originally, he grew up from rural Alabama, a small town. He was one of 15 children, both from the same parents. I mean, all the kids were from the same mom and dad living in the home, and they didn't take one penny of welfare. The dad worked a couple of jobs, but the dad was a pastor too, and the dad also pastored another church that was like 75 miles away. And so if the car broke down or if he didn't have a way to get there, I mean, he was hitchhiking to go to pastor this church. But that was the type of home that Colenso got. He actually wound up with a full ride scholarship to play football for Bear Bryant at Alabama. And he had opportunity to play professionally in the NFL. But he knew in his heart that he wanted to be a minister of the gospel. So after graduation, he didn't pursue an NFL career. I mean, there was a lot of money obviously dangled in front of him. But he wanted to reach people that had grown up like he had and share the good news of Christ. And so I think you're right. It is a matter of us making choice, even when circumstances are very, very adverse, you know. And so we have to help instill this in our kids. We need mentors. I love what the Mayor Strickland is always promoting: mentors, getting involved with the Boys and Girls Clubs, Streets Ministries, Memphis Athletic Ministries, other community centers that have programs and projects that our adults can get involved with, being a mentor for these young people to help them to learn how to make good choices.
There's so many avenues out there, but we got to make this information available to these young people. There's so many challenges that move beyond what we're doing with hands around, with marching on the madness, with what we do from an everyday standpoint as believers, working with the leadership of Memphis, not just the political, but businesses, making them a bit more sensitive to what's going on. There are a lot of challenges out there, and school closures, and that's community closures, and we understand that. So, you know, it's very frustrating when you're down there looking up at what's happening around you. Young kids having to wake up in the morning. We don't have a neighborhood school, and what's happening with that? And we're finding that many young people are dropping out. And when they drop out, they're candidates for the penal justice system. So this becomes a part of that frustration, that element that many times we don't look at. So our kids are feeding into two systems, okay? They're going to be in the jail if they don't tap into the education system. But when the education system becoming so difficult to deal with, they just fall out there. Well-intended young people. So we've got to go there and give some instruction and give some direction. And I think that's where the church has really got to pick up and become more sensitive and more knowledgeable of what people are really dealing with out there.
Okay, again, Pastor, this Saturday at Lester Community Center, 10:30 to noon, you're inviting the faith community to come from no matter what area of our city that you live in, you're from. Encourage your pastor to come and other staff members that would come and help be part of this work. Again, March on the Madness. And the following Saturday, do you know where you're going to be the each Saturday in March, or you're not sure yet?
Possibly Westwood, and we'll let them know in good time. Possibly Westwood, but there again, if there are members or listeners out there who say, hey, I'd love to have something like this going in my community. There's crime and to deal with. This is the place. Give me a call, and we can make the adjustment. We're flexible in our schedule because this is not our thing. This is Memphis's thing. And we want to go where the problems are. We want to go where people are concerned and say, hey, we're ready to go. Would you come help us?
That's what it's all about. And if you want to call Pastor Ralph White, the number is 901-481-3320. 901-481-3320. That's Pastor Ralph White's number that you can call. You can text him, and if you want to say that, hey, we're going to join you. And let me just say, if you're not able to join, maybe you are an elderly member of our fine community, and you say, Pastor, I just want you to know I'm going to be praying for you while you're out there, and I'm going to be praying for you on these Saturdays that you're going to be going to different areas of our town and for the opportunities to take the good news.
I appreciate it.
Now, you don't turn prayer down, do you, Pastor?
Oh, no. Can't get too much.
Well, I always enjoy the time we get together and focus on, again, the crime in our area. It's neat to see the faith community engaging the issue instead of avoiding the issue. And thank you for spearheading, taking the leadership role in this. And I would encourage our friends, again, to pray for you and to come out this Saturday from 10:30 to noon at the Lester Community Center at the Binghamton area there on Tillman. And if you would like more information, call Pastor Ralph White at 901-481-3320. God bless you, my dear brother.
Appreciate you having us.
Friends, that's all the time we have on this edition of Mid-South Viewpoint. Thanks for stopping by. I'm Byron Tyler. We'll talk to you next time. Bye-bye.